like we always said, we appreciate being here today, tonight. At first, like I said, we didn't know if we was going to make it or not. We had our therapy and it was scheduled at 5. But the Lord worked it out where I can get there at 4 and get it done. But I desire his prayers tonight, because I'm harder on myself than anybody else is harder on me. Because there's a lot of thoughts and things that goes through our minds, and we struggle with them sometimes, just I guess about like everybody else does. But we just like to just try to do that that's on our heart. And we've always said how we'd like for it to come out, like what is happening on the inside. I guess that goes back to what Randy had always said, if you just open me up and see, you'd probably like that part a whole lot better. But we appreciate the opportunity just to stand. Randy, he's said he didn't have a choice on what trip he had to make today, so y'all remember him. He makes safe travels. But we're going to read a verse in Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read a couple of verses out of chapter 3 of Genesis. Then we're going to go over to Matthew 26 and read a verse out of it. What we got on our heart, I believe I've mentioned it or stood on it beforehand, and sometimes that's the toughest part of doing, because the devil in our minds, we start telling ourselves, well, we done said that, we done did that. But there again, I heard one of our elder preachers say one time, he said, but they don't stop us from singing a song over and over again. Had one fella say this, he said, if it was good the first time, he said, then it's worth doing again. So a lot of times our thoughts, we create them and we struggle with it. But I just like for y'all to just pray for me for a few minutes here. Chapter 2, verse 8, it says, and the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Then in chapter 3, we're going to read the last three verses of that chapter. It says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the garden from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And then in Genesis 26, just going to read a verse, number 36. It says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go pray yonder. What our thought is we got two gardens here. Garden of Eden and the Garden of Gethsemane. And I know we like to stay in the Garden of Eden. We like the peace that it provides. We like the joy that it gives. And we just like being in that environment. But I'm going to tell you this. We wouldn't have a Garden of Eden if it wasn't for a Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm going to tell you, we need to use the Garden of Gethsemane a little bit more than what we've been using it. I want to say this again. If I ever say the word we, church, or anything, Bruce Orange is included right in amongst it. Because the Bible says that he went to Gethsemane. Now, I don't know if that's what that garden's name was, but the meaning of it is when they're pressing the oil out of the olives. Now, Jesus knowed what he came for, and I don't think he wavered a bit even before he went to Gethsemane. But I'm going to tell you, he came to a place in there that the Bible said that he even prayed that the sweat even became as great drops of blood because of the yearning that he had in him. I know sometimes that I ask prayer for William, but I'm going to tell you this. If I'd spend a little bit more time in Gethsemane, I believe that there can be some better results that happens. If you want Eden, you got to go through Gethsemane to get there. If you want the joy, you got to go through the heartache, through the sorrow, through the begging. I'm going to tell you, we talk about our elders a lot. I'm going to tell you, I believe they spend a lot of time in Gethsemane. What we call of having a burden for somebody. A yearning. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't know about anybody else. I know basically all of you had a great desire to see somebody saved. And I'm going to tell you what that feels like. It puts pressure on the inside of you. And you're trying to pray for them and it just gets that such a pressure. I'm just going to say this, welcome to Gethsemane whenever you feel that. Because that's exactly where Christ was at that moment in time. He's a man just like what we was in our thoughts. But he come to that place where he said, "Thy will be done." And if we ever get enough of Gethsemane that we can get ourselves to say, "Thy will be done," I believe we'll be able to visit Eden just a little bit more. Now, I'm going to say this. You don't have to agree with me, but I don't have to worry about visiting Eden away out yonder. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, Christ set it up right here inside of me. And I want to tell you this, when the Spirit's rolling and you feeling good, it's okay. You shouting and it feels good, the joyfulness. But I'm going to tell you what, to help save our loved ones more would be more Gethsemane. Because of the yearning that we have, the burdens that we tote. We don't like the feel of it, be honest with you. But it's necessary. But a lot of people don't want the discomfort of Gethsemane. I'm going to say this, and I might have told this about myself before. Got out of my bed one night. I was going to bow down and say a prayer to the Lord. And as I got down, I was kind of felt like I was crunched in there somewhere. Now, I don't know if you ever tried to stop a prayer to the Lord, but I did. I said, Lord, hold on a minute. I said, let me get comfortable here. And Jeff, I'm going to tell you, the words come to me was like, why? Why do you want to be comfortable? And then Steve, it started coming to me because he said this. He said, you think Paul and Silas was comfortable whenever they was in prison? He said, but I'm going to tell you, even in their uncomfort state, they still prayed. They still sang. He said, you want to be comfortable? He said, do you think that my son, Jesus Christ, was comfortable whenever his toting that cross up to Calvary, wearing the crown of thorns and people? He said, you think he was comfortable? He said, that's the problem now. He said, you want to be comfortable? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. The Lord's blessing me. You want to be comfortable? I'm going to tell you where comfortability gets you. If you want to read back every time that the children of Israel got comfortable, they ended up in trouble. Amen. And then even to get out of trouble, they had to go into bondage somehow. But then they got their own little Gethsemane, what they got, and started praying out to God to come and help. Lord, we can't do this on our own. So he said, why do you want to get comfortable for? Spiritual comfortable is harmful. We need to have that Gethsemane in our hearts. Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to see more results out of that. See, the Garden of Eden is for me. Now, the Gethsemane is for me too. But that's for me and my loved ones. Because that's where I really get to the place where I say, Lord, not my will, but thine. But everybody wants Eden, and it's a good place to get. But to get there, I'm going to tell you, if you ever been born again, you went through Gethsemane to get there. And matter of fact, Christ went through it first. And I ain't no better than he is. So why do I think I deserve comfortability? We say, but we're his children, and we are. Then why ain't we yearning like we are? I mean, we talk about revivals coming up, revivals here, revivals there. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm just going to tell you. And this ain't no message on getting on nobody. Because just like you've always heard a lot of us, we have to eat these things first. And it don't taste good. But Gethsemane is a necessity in our Christian walk of life. People says, well, it ain't no bed of roses. I tell them this, I says, it's more like a rose bush. It has a good fragrance, it has a beauty, but I'm going to tell you, you go dive in one of them and see if you don't get some thorns right along with it. But the only thorns that I've got is the ones I brought on myself. And then I started realizing that I've been coming up short and I didn't get to visit Eden as quite as often. But then I find myself saying, I know where Gethsemane is. I don't have to go all the way over there. I just have to bow down right there where I'm at. But we need to have that burdens upon us. Like I said, it ain't no enjoyable thing. I remember one time, I was helping in revival many years ago, and I'm going to tell you, I thought my heart was just going to bust because I know for a fact that somebody was leaving there lost. Jeff and I was like, how can they? I can't understand this, Lord. And I remember stopping up at Daddy's and I just couldn't handle it. They said, it just hurts. It hurts. And my thoughts go back now, and the Lord saying, welcome to Gethsemane. You see, for one thing, now this is me. Jesus knew that when he left there, that his days is going to be coming to an end upon this earth. Now his disciples had been with him, and it felt like nobody really bothered him a whole lot. Now he knew that he was not going to be there physically with them. Now the Bible says this, that they all departed. Now it said Peter followed afar off. We know the story, how it caught crew the third time, and said he wept with bitter tears. I believe he started remembering Gethsemane just a little bit there and where he failed at. But we all like Eden, and we should. We should desire to be there. We should desire to be able to praise our Lord right here. But let's don't forget, just because we're in, that everybody ain't in. And that ought to keep part of Gethsemane close to our hearts. For now, Gethsemane. But I'm going to tell you, I will guarantee you this, if you spend some time in Gethsemane, Eden won't be too far away. I'm going to say this, and I'll come to a close. I've said it before. Now, I don't know how anybody else talks to the Lord, but there's one time when everybody was enjoying Eden in a service, and Bruce wasn't. And as I was watching them, I'm going to tell you, I get envious. I'll be honest with you. But I overstepped my bounds, and I told the Lord this. I said, I'm fixing to get up and tell everybody that you ain't blessing me like you should be. Well, the Lord don't take threats too good. He said, well, go ahead then, if you think you can. Well, I quickly started examining myself, and I realized I skipped Gethsemane. So that repentance come real quick like. But you spend some time in Gethsemane, Eden won't be too far away. Anybody got anything that they'd like to say or do?